Oh. We got it out of order. Is that what you're saying? Looking at you and thinking,
no worries.
Why are you looking at me?
These are various readings from the book of Proverbs. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking in sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter. Oh, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate their knowledge? Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand on your mouth. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. This is God's word.
As we make or as we have made our way through the primary grades and secondary school and beyond, we will encounter a number of different types of classmates who have different attitudes or thoughts towards classroom learning. And I remember in the primary grades encountering one of the first types of learners, the keeners, those who actually wanted to be in school, those who actually enjoyed the lessons and learning what they did. And in my little grade one mind, I couldn't figure out why they were so excited to be at school and learning certain things. And their positive attitude towards learning obviously benefited them, obviously in terms of just their enjoying the day, and also benefited their marks. Their marks usually were done quite well. And then you run into the other type of opposite of the keener. You run into the resistor, the rebel of the class, the one who does not want to be there, could care less about anything that is being taught, basically are troublemakers and disturbers. And in grade seven or eight, I remember such a classmate of mine. He concocted a very dangerous plan, actually. He had not studied for the test. He didn't want to study, wasn't going to study for the test, but he thought he would get out of the test. And his plan was, is during a mock game of tag, he would pretend to be dodging a tag, and as he dodged the tag, what he did is he leapt through the window pane of the main door of the school and crashed into the hallway, breaking the whole window pane. Fortunately for him, he was completely unhurt. But he played it up. Oh, I'm shaken. This was a near miss and all that kind of nonsense to the teachers. And so they allowed him to go home and miss the test. And then you have the bulk of the students, which I think are what I would call the impressionables. They generally cooperate. They'll do what the teacher wants. But often they too need a little bit of a spark of motivation. If you could just get them motivated, they will fully apply themselves. Now, as I explained last week to our introduction to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, it's a collection of seven different collections of wisdom. And these collections of wisdom take the format of an education, the format of parental instruction, community, wisdom of the community, and sayings of the wise. And the elders of the community, or the parents, or the tutors, will take these collections, this book called Proverbs, and it will be their textbook, their source book, that they're going to teach the young, the younger generations, the youth, how to know and discern situations in life, and to be able to choose what God wants them to choose, what is the right path in life, so that they may grow up to be a godly, responsible citizen and member of that community. The book of Proverbs presents three main types of characters, or three main types of learners, three main types of people who are going to be exposed to the teaching of wisdom and the teaching of foolishness, and it records how they respond and what they're like. And because these three types of people are all through the book of Proverbs, we must understand who they are and what they are like if we're going to understand the book of Proverbs and its message. And also, by understanding these three main characters in Proverbs, it will also help us be able to evaluate ourselves. So the first character that we meet is the simple person. And I have defined the simple person as the young, unlearned, naive, and inexperienced person who is yet to decide their path of life. Sounds like today's tweens and today's teens. They're young. They don't know who they are yet. They're still working through their teen years. Who am I? Their identity. They're not experienced in life, and they don't know what they want out of life or for life and what all life's purposes are. Being simple has nothing to do with low IQ or learning disabilities. Rather, being young and inexperienced, the simple simply lack knowledge and insight into life. But they can learn it. They can gain insight and they can gain knowledge into life if they're willing to listen. A prime example of the simple person was read in the scriptures, a scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 7. A young man, not really knowing the danger and the situation that he's going to put himself in, walks down the street where the adulteress lives. And he hears her sweet talk, and he falls for it. And he ends up going to his own slaughter. When we review the Proverbs verses speaking about the simple, we can note that the simple are the following. First of all, the simple is teachable. In Proverbs chapter 9, when you read that chapter, both Lady Wisdom and Madame Folly are calling out to the simple, calling out to the youth, calling out to the inexperienced and saying, come to my house, each of them, Madame Folly and Lady Wisdom, calling, come and eat with me. You can learn from me. I got some nice delicacies for you. I better move that. I'm going to step all over this. And then when you take a look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25, and chapter 21, verse 11, it states that the simple can learn from observation. When the simple person sees the scoffer get punished, the simple goes, oh. And they gain knowledge about life. They gain understanding about consequences and certain behaviors and right and wrong. A second thing about the simple is that they are naive and they are undiscerning. Chapter 14, verse 15 says, the simple believes everything. Now, if a child grows up with two good parents and has learned to be able to trust their parents, and their parents have told the child the truth, and their parents are safe and guide them well, the child learns to trust the parent. But the thing is when we go out into the world and interact with other people, well, there's many people who are not safe. They lie to us and they deceive us. But the child, having grown up, the simple, the youth, think, well, isn't everybody like that? My parents were like this. And so they just believe everything that everybody tells them. Unfortunately, we can't do that in our society when we go outside and away from our parents who were trustworthy. So they believe everything. They are not discerning. They're not experienced in the ways of those who are deceptive. In chapter 22, verse 3, it says, a prudent person sees danger and hides, but the simple person, the inexperienced, the naive person, looks at the same thing and goes, oh, what's that about? And keeps going and explores it and ends up destroying themselves or harming themselves. And because the simple is naive and because they are not able to discern, this makes them prey, easy prey for all the different types of fools that are found in life or listed in the book of Proverbs. And it makes them prey, easy prey, for Dame Folly and her wiles and deceptive talk. And the third thing about the simple is that they will become fools. You let a simple person grow up without any instruction, they will grow up into a fool. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 states, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. What's folly? It's just another word for sin. As children, we are not morally neutral. We're not morally good. We have, as we were born with, a sin nature. The wider teaching of Scripture is we are born with a nature that repels God. And that is wicked. And unless that nature is addressed and arrested when we are young, and if the youth or the simple does not embrace the instruction and the teaching of the wise and of the godly parent, the simple will simply grow up into a fool. And they will suffer the same fate as a fool, death. After offering wisdom to the simple, in chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, Lady Wisdom warns in verse 32 of chapter 1, the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. And so this is why the book opens in chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, simple, youth, receive prudence, that ability to look at a situation and discern what's really going on, and then make the right choice. To the simple, take this book, take what's in it. It's useful for gaining knowledge and instruction and the fear of the Lord. That's why it calls out to them. You will gain discretion in chapter 1. That's the first main character of Proverbs, the simple. The second is the fool. Now, the term fool is interchangeable in the book of Proverbs. The term fool is interchangeable with other terms such as the wicked, evil, the crooked, and the bad. At times, Proverbs will classify the different types of fools. the lazy or the sluggard, the hothead or the hot-tempered, the mocker, the liar, the proud. These are all subcategories or types of fools. But unlike the simple person who hasn't yet made up their mind and hasn't yet become chosen and fixed their life direction, the fool has. The fool has chosen their life direction. And therefore, the fool is the person who has chosen to spurn and oppose the wisdom and knowledge of God and God's order for life, doing what is right in his or her own eyes. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Chapter 13, verse 19 says that a fool thinks that to turn away from evil is an abomination. It's the complete opposite of what Scripture tells us. In God's eyes, to turn to evil and perpetrate evil and commit evil is an abomination before him. Fools turn it right around. They say, to choose good and to leave evil is a terrible thing in their eyes. A classic example of a fool is the man named Nabal, whose name means fool in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Or another classic example of the fool is King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, found in 1 and 2 Kings. Proverbs has lots to say about the fool, but I only want to give you a brief introduction to the fool. I would encourage you, on the scripture reading, I put on the back how you can go to BibleGateway.com, how you can type in the word fool, and it will bring up every place that word is in the book of Proverbs. So you can read all those verses on the screen, and you can get much more than I can tell you, and I'm just simply summarizing for you. And you can do that with any word in the Bible. You want to know every place where the word angel is found or love is found or whatever, you can do the same thing. But this is what I did for fool. I typed in fool, selected the book of Proverbs, and went through printed out every place where the word fool is used. And this is some of the things we can learn about the fool in summary. A, they're not teachable in the ways of wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, verse 22, and chapter 15, 5 state, they hate being taught. They don't want to learn the things of God. They don't want to learn or be disciplined in those things. Instead, as chapter 12, verse 15 says, the fool is arrogant. They will do what is right in their own eyes. Don't teach me, the fool says, what is right or wrong. I'll decide that for myself. Compared to the wise who can be corrected with a simple word of rebuke, the fool, chapter 17, verse 10 says, has trouble learning even if he is beaten with 100 blows. The fool would rather be like a dog that returns to his vomit. When the dog returns to their vomit and keeps eating it, that's the fool. That's how much they love evil. Chapter 26, verse 11, it says that as a dog returns to its vomit, the fool repeats his folly. The second thing about the fool is that they are harmful to everyone. The fool does not bring blessing to or health or help to any person. They are harmful to all. Speaking about the subunit of chapter 19, verses 23 to chapter 20, verse 1, Bruce Waltke writes, he's an Old Testament scholar, Proverbs is his specialty. He writes, "This catalog of fool escalates from the sluggard who damages and punishes himself, to the shameful son who destroys the family, to the corrupt witnesses who destroy the social order by their false witnesses, to the brawling drunkard who endangers everyone." End of quote. And that's the sad thing, is that the fool doesn't just harm themselves. They harm everyone around them. I mean, it's sad enough that the fool is harming themselves, just like a drunk driver who hits a tree and just wrecks their car and hurts himself. That's sad enough. But it becomes extremely tragic when they hit all innocent people because of their bad behavior. Same concept, same dynamic here with the fool. They harm all around them. because of the chosen way of life that the fool has chosen, that is based on ungodly principles and their ungodly values, they tear society apart as they live out their values, and they tear it apart at all levels, from the family to the government. Chapter 17, verse 12 says, "It's better that you meet a mother bear who has been robbed of her cubs than to meet a fool in his folly, or to meet a fool in his sin." Because of the great harm that fool, he or she, can do to you. And another fascinating thing about Proverbs, as it teaches us about the fool, is it teaches us how to respond properly to the fool. It teaches us actually six ways. I found six ways that Proverbs says, this is how you should interact or react to the fool. The simple and the wise are going to meet fools every day of their life. They're all around. They're everywhere. And one example of how not to, or how to properly respond to a fool is found in chapter 26, verse 1. It says, "Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool." You know that for the crops to grow and to get a harvest, you need the appropriate seasonal weather. If you get snow in the summer while your crops are growing, it's going to ruin them. The cold weather will ruin the buds or the blossoms, or maybe even freeze because of the cold weather. It may even freeze your plant. Crop done. Unseasonal snow in the summer just doesn't work for the crops. Too much rain, constant rain in the harvest, you can't get the crop off. It's going to spoil or rot in the fields. So the point of comparison is, as unseasonable weather is out of place for crops, destroying them, likewise, it is unfitting and harmful to honor a fool. That's the point of comparison. It is just as terrible and unfitting to honor a fool as it is for snow to come in July when our crops are growing. One way to honor a fool is to put them into a position of influence, to grant them a position of leadership or responsibility over your life, over a family and their life, over the community or the church. Honor a fool by giving them a position of leadership, and you end up empowering the fool. You give them a greater platform to spread their ungodly values, a greater platform to spread evil. As they are opposed to God's cosmic moral and social order of righteousness and justice, the fool is going to use the honor, that is the position of leadership, the position of influence, the position of power that you have given to them, to do two things. One, popularize folly or sin and life-destroying policies and practices. And secondly, they're going to use their platform that you gave them through honoring them to influence the simple, to influence the youth, to choose the evil ways, bringing more ruin and evil into society and their families. And then you have the third main character of Proverbs, the wise. Just like the fool, the wise, is, as a term, is interchangeable with other terms in the book of Proverbs also. So the term wise can be used as interchanged with righteous, good, upright, blameless, or understanding. And the wise person are those who are capable of discerning how to live rightly in a broken world with all its dangers and trials, because they acknowledge God as He is and have committed themselves to living according to God's decreed order of life. So the wise know how to act and behave and live in society because they have humbled themselves under God and received His instruction of how to live in the earth that He has designed. A great example of a wise person is the prophet Daniel. Again, I encourage you, go to BibleGateway.com, put in the word wise, select the book of Proverbs, pull up all the verses about wise. Here are two things about the wise person. They are teachable. They are a group of people or a person who seeks, they pursue wisdom. Many verses speak of the appetite of the wise to gain more wisdom. Verse 8 of chapter 9 speaks of, you reprove the wise, they love you. Verse 9 of chapter 9 says, give instruction to the wise, they'll be wiser even still more. It says in 10:14, the wise store up knowledge and their ear seeks it. Chapter 18, verse 15. And the other thing about the wise is that they benefit others. Everything that they do, how they act, how they live, actually ends up benefiting the others. It's the exact opposite of the fool, where the fool destroys and harms everyone around them and everyone that they come into contact with. The wise share their knowledge, and 12:18 says that brings healing to others. They enable others to turn from the snare of death, or the snares of death, chapter 13, verse 14. As they share their wisdom, they make others wise. Chapter 13, verse 20. The wise son or the wise daughter makes the family glad. Chapter 15, verse 20 and chapter 23, verse 24. The wise are able to appease the anger of the king. They're able to bring peace in such a situation. Proverbs 16, verse 14. And when we use the co-related term for wise, the term righteous, Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So the lips of the wise feed many. It's an image of abundance. It's an image of health and giving things to others so that they are built up. The ways of the wise are in sync with God's cosmic, moral, and social order as God decreed. So as the wise teach that and pass that on to the youth, the youth and others are able then to learn the way they are to walk in life, and it leads to life. So these are the three characters: the simple, the wise, and the fool of many types. I have three closing thoughts for you. First of all, we need to ask ourselves, who am I? What is your identity according to these three characters? Am I the simple? And sometimes, just because that's the stage of life you're in, you're young, you're simple. Others of you, you may be the fool. You may be the wise. The book of Proverbs divides humanity up into these three classes, and we all fit in one of the three. And at times we may act like one, be in one, but at times act like another. Where are we? And we have to remember also that even if we are in the simple category, the simple are not innocent. The simple have to choose to become wise. They're not out of danger. The simple is not a category you want to remain in. Out of those three categories, it's the wise category that you want to be your identity. The other two are not healthy. They are not good. The simple must choose to become wise, or by simple neglect, lack of action, or being deceived, they will be confirmed in the folly that is in their heart and destroyed later. And even if you would classify yourself as wise, you're not out of danger either. We are not out of danger because we have not made it. We don't know everything, and there will be new and different situations all through life that we have not encountered, and we will need the wisdom of God and wisdom of others. As long as we live in a broken world, we have to continue to pursue and keep growing in and living wisdom. Who are you? The second thought that I want to leave with you is we have to understand the moral nature of wisdom and foolishness. I don't know about you, but I have to keep telling myself, every time I see the word fool and every time I see the word wise, it's not talking about IQ. It's not talking about whether you have the ability to get a 40% grade average or a 98% grade average. It's not talking about being smart or silly. That's our cultural understanding of wise and foolishness. But as I explained last week, one of the characteristics of wisdom is that it is moral. The whole thing about wise or foolishness is about good and evil. Those are the terms we have to understand and use to define what is wise and what is foolish. It's what is unjust or just, immoral or moral. That's what wisdom and foolishness is about. And so until that sinks into my head and sinks into your head, we will not understand this book of Proverbs. Being wise is about making the right moral choices. Being foolish is about embracing sin in all its various forms. Being wise means being committed and humble before God and committed to his ways. Being foolish means rebelling against God, doing what you want to do, what is right in your own eyes, declaring yourself God or other things other than God as God. That's foolishness. We have to really let that sink in. And thirdly, we need to embrace a conversion. My third thought, embrace a conversion. Because we have to leave the way of the simple. We have to leave the way of the fool. Both of those naturally will end in death and destruction. So we need a conversion to become wise. Derek Kidner refers to this, the conversion, a turning from evil. What did the verse say in chapter 9, verse 10? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But the fool loves evil. The fool thinks doing something that's wrong is a joke. He thinks it's a great pastime. But those who are wise understand that doing evil is horrendous. It's an abomination. So we need a conversion to see that the evil that we're doing is not something good, but something that is horribly wrong. And we need a conversion also from our cherished independence in that way, as Proverbs 14:12 says, that seems right to a man. The fool is the one who does what is right in his own eyes. It seems right to him or to her. That has to be abandoned. That has to be turned away from. We cannot be independent from God doing what we think is right. Instead, we must positively turn or convert to God and his salvation and his ways and thoughts. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul writes this to the people at Colossae and the people at Laodicea. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Paul was laboring and struggling hard that the people at Colossae and the Laodicea would begin to know, to gather, the riches of God's knowledge and mystery, which is found, it says, in Christ, who in whom are all the treasures of wisdom. The Colossians were being enticed with another wisdom or other forms of wisdom, other different earthly philosophies, other ways to live life. And Paul's saying, and he goes on to say, they're deceptive, they're empty. The only way of wisdom will be found in Christ, the way of true knowledge, Paul says, is found in Jesus, who makes known all the knowledge and wisdom of God. So to change from a simple person, to change from a fool, there needs to be a conversion. A conversion and a submission to Jesus Christ, in whom all wisdom is found. I ask that the praise team come and lead us.
Let's stand and sing our communion song.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down at the cross. I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe.